Welcome to the Church Tech Club Talk podcast, where we facilitate the motto, Ask, Learn, Do More. Our host is Jonathan Lennon, author of Effective Technology and Ministry, a practical guide, and founder of the Church Tech Club. From time to time, Jonathan is joined by exciting co-hosts, product specialists, plain old product users, and special guests to answer questions you have asked, share pro ministry tech developments, and offer inspiration that promotes reaching, growing, and serving people via intentional tech inclusive strategy.
All right. I definitely want to welcome everyone today. We're on Welcome to the Church Tech Club Talk podcast. Today we are at episode 5 of season 1, and we are talking today with someone that we are excited to be with us, and he's going to be telling us about his company. We're going to learn some very interesting things that most people might not think churches need to be concerned about, and that is we're going to talk about the area of cybersecurity. We're going to talk a little bit about cybersecurity. Now, this is a sort of a business slash techie topic, right? And we're going to have Jonathan Logan share with us today. So Jonathan Logan, we want to welcome you to the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan, for having me on. It's nice to have a name twin. Jonathan Lonan and Jonathan Logan are pretty similar, so we're probably related somehow.
That's right. Somewhere down the line, we are related. So y'all give it up for Jonathan Logan today. Y'all give it up for Jonathan Logan. All right. All right, so you are officially welcome to the podcast today. And just in case you just joined, or maybe you had your sound turned down, maybe you were ignoring the captions, and Jonathan mentioned it earlier, I didn't just introduce myself, all right? Though close, his name is Logan, L-O-G-A-N. And we just happen to have the same first name and the last initial, so stick with us, and maybe by the end of our time today, we'll find out if his middle name starts with the letter B.
Oh, no, it's an A, but it's pretty close.
Okay, good, very good. Close. So I didn't have to play the mystery music today. Okay, yeah, that is close. That is close. Yeah. All right, so I happened to meet Jonathan at a recent CITN conference in Dallas, Texas, and I was definitely impressed by his passion and commitment in offering all types of services to churches of different sizes. They could be mega-sized churches as well as small to mid-sized churches. And as you know, with the Church Tech Club, we focus heavily on small to mid-sized churches who may be a little bit more underprivileged and may not have as much knowledge about some of the things related to tech. His team actually serves small to mid-sized churches as well as large churches, and that group is called Holy Secure. And Holy Secure is definitely a great name. I love that name. Even though small to mid-sized churches and ministries may not have heard of him, we're going to introduce him today. He's going to tell us a little bit about what he does and what he offers in just a minute. Now, I do encourage you, if you're a small to mid-sized church, to take a moment and for the things we're going to talk about today, get an assessment done, and then act on shoring up your digital security and everything that goes around making your church secure in terms of its digital footprint. All right, so now, we're real balanced when it comes to the things of God and tech, right? If we keep the balance and sanctity of the choices we make, we can actually press into the world with these types of tools and be positioned to not have disruptions occur so that we can continue to bring forth the message of God. So as long as we don't step out of bounds, right, we can glorify God and we can draw people closer to Him honorably, even with tech. I want to thank you, Jonathan, for seeing the need for this critical technology to benefit churches when we talk about cybersecurity. Okay, so this is the website for Holy Secure. You can see, I love this logo. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the logo, too, as we go on a little bit later. We enhance nonprofit cybersecurity to ensure regulatory compliance. This is really, really good stuff. Cybersecurity is no joke, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about that in a minute. And then they have a lot of different services that they offer, and you can go to that page and see a lot more about that. You can get to his website at holysecure.com. All right, so let's get started here. We're gonna let Mr. Logan tell you more about what he does at Holy Secure and how their technology services plays a pertinent role in an important visibility of the church in a sec. So let's first hear a word from one of our sponsors.
Does your church or ministry have tech questions about a specific product, the right product to choose, or just want to see what others are doing with technology in their ministries? There's a club for that. The Church Tech Club is a community portal where you can collaborate in an ad-free social feed, self-paced learn via video lessons, and discover practical ways to effectively use technology for enhancing your ministry outcomes. Learn more and sign up for free or paid tiers today at thechurchtechclub.com.
All right, so we're back again with Jonathan Logan, and we're going to be talking today about Holy Secure and some of the things they offer in terms of cybersecurity for nonprofits and churches. And I'm going to ask Jonathan a weird question to start this off, just so we can just kind of get to know Jonathan a little better. And the question is, what was your favorite subject in high school? What was your or college? What was your favorite subject? Something that you were running to get to class. You wanted to be there so bad.
History, for sure.
Whoa.
Yeah, I love history ever since I was a little kid. I strongly considered becoming a history teacher, but the pay is terrible, so I didn't do that. But I would literally run to history. Like every elementary school, high school, college, like history was it, man. I had one teacher, I'll never forget him. In college, he dressed up, we were doing the Revolutionary War, and he dressed up like in the full get up, and he was very dynamic. That just made the class even better. But I love history. I love reading history even today.
Wow. Like,
no question. History is it. As long as it's not math, history.
Okay. Not math history, just history.
just history.
Okay, very good, very good. Yeah, that can actually, I can see that taking you a long ways in whatever you choose to do, having more information and knowledge about life and the world definitely does help. So that's cool. All right, so now we know a little bit more about you. So let's ask you one more question. Maybe not in yesteryear, but today, churches need cybersecurity and they need to implement it pretty much just like businesses do. So what's one thing you think maybe many churches, church admins, leaders, publicity campaign, personnel, whatever, what is it that they might be doing wrong when it comes to, let's be kinder. What are some things they should consider when it comes to cybersecurity?
So there are so many factors to consider about cybersecurity, especially for a church. But the number one thing that we harp on at Holy Secure is compliance. Churches are not exempt. 501c3s are not exempt from data privacy regulations, any of them at the state, federal, or international level. So if you're doing an international work, you know, in the European Union, you got GDIT. If you're in the United States and you handle any kids' data, you have to deal with COPPA compliance, COPPA. Not to mention there are a plethora of state-level privacy acts like the California one. Everyone knows the California Privacy Act, where you are required to handle any sensitive information, personal information, personally identifiable information, PII, with best practices in mind. And you have to prove that you're handling it correctly. So that means documentation. So maybe you have all the cybersecurity systems and you have a full-time cyber ninja guru. If you don't have documentation proving that you intentionally built those systems for compliance, you're not compliant.
Wow.
You might not get slapped on the wrist as hard, but because you don't have the documentation backing it up, how can you prove that you actually did this intentionally? And the point of compliance regulations is to prove and to force organizations to be intentional with their cybersecurity or with whatever, you know, element of compliance they're enforcing.
Interesting. Wow. That's great. And churches need this too, right? I mean, when we're talking about businesses probably have a lot more impact in terms of profitability if something goes wrong. Churches have some liabilities there too, right?
Churches have huge liability. Because there is no exemptions for them, there's no two different tiers of justice if you have, you know, poor compliance and poor cybersecurity. Churches handle names, emails, addresses, phone numbers, birthdays. They'll have financial information. You know, let's say if there's a couple who's having marital problems, there might be digital notes from therapy, you know, group counseling sessions. Like, there's a lot of factors that we don't think about. I was talking to a church a few months back. I was giving them a free compliance assessment, just seeing, okay, what kind of data do you handle? How do you handle it? What are you doing for all these things? And they have a preschool. So someone's like, okay, what kind of data do you have in your preschool? It's like, oh, you know, just like contact info for the parents. Like, okay, like that's pretty significant. What else do you have? Oh, we also have to have vaccination records. I'm like, okay, what kind of data is on the vaccination record? Because that's already, you know, all the HIPAA compliance alarms are going off. Like names, addresses, birthdays, social security numbers. And I was like, wait. You have social security numbers of your okay, how are you storing that data? Oh, it's in a shared space. It's next to their contact information in a shared folder. It's just sitting in the classroom. I'm like, okay, so you have super sensitive information tied to this person, tied to their parents, like for these kids, sitting in a folder that anyone can just walk in and grab in an unlocked classroom. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. Most people don't take into consideration all the different levels of data that these churches handle. But they handle extremely sensitive information. If they don't handle it correctly, they open themselves up to all kinds of liability. There's jail time associated with certain states, and they're like, you need to handle this type of data. You have to handle it a specific way. If you don't, there's jail time and huge fines associated per incident. So if you have 20 kids, let's say you have 20 kids, and you get breached, and now you have 20 kids' social security numbers floating out there, you get fined per kid.
Per child. Wow.
So it's exponential. That's actually one of the main reasons that I started Holy Secure was a church I used to attend. I'm originally from Florida. I grew up on the Space Coast where the space shuttles grew up. I grew up with the space shuttle program shaking in the windows to my house. There's a church I used to attend back in Florida, and they got hit, and they lost, I think it was $250,000 to a phishing scam during a construction project because they were building out another building to their school. So I talked to some of the leadership there, and I was like, what happened here? How did this happen? You're a big church. They had, I think, well over 1,200 members. They had like 800 kids in their school. Huge, huge church. I'm like, where's your cybersecurity? What are you doing for your compliance? And they looked at me like I had two heads. I'm like, it's scary. So, we ended up, me and my co-founder started Holy Secure because these churches, it's just an awareness factor. These churches don't understand. Even big ones with big budgets don't know. They have to be compliant. They have to be following best practices. They have to be following specific regulatory standards for the specific data they handle. And in each state is different. Wow. You have to take all those things into consideration with the data that you handle as a church.
Wow. I love that. Good information, because it doesn't really matter what size you are. What really matters is that people's data is secure. And so you've really got to take this into consideration. You can't just let this slide. As a church administrator for over 20 years, I can definitely understand how you guys recognize this problem. Churches tend to even have, say, file cabinets that don't have locks on them or you know, critical mail open, you know, so that everybody can see it. You know, those types of things. I made sure that we had practices and policies and procedures around these things.
That's good.
So that this wouldn't be the case. That's good. That's good information. So I'm going to come back to you in just a minute. We're going to run one more quick ad here. And then I want to kind of dig a little bit deeper on some of the things that you're offering and highlight a couple of those things that you think are important that a church maybe they would be starters for them, something that they can start with.
Yep.
to kind of get into the flow of taking those steps that they need to take to protect the people's information. So
for sure,
we'll come back to that in just a second. Let's go to one more bill paying ad. So hang tight. Did you know that technology affords a way for you to wear the representation of the gospel message everywhere you go? That's right. As ambassadors of the Kingdom and Will line of top quality wearables, the Church Tech Club can help you represent in style. Whether hats, shirts, or hoodies, you might as well save while you profile. Simply scan the QR code or visit Kingdom and Will at kw.thechurchtechclub.com today. That's kw.thechurchtechclub.com to get a 10% discount and start repping the Kingdom in style today. Okay. All right. So as you can see, I am actually repping today the Grace Lest Anyone Should Boast hat. And we have a lot of their gear as well. And we're going to be sharing some more about that in another episode. But definitely, we're glad today to have with us Jonathan Logan from Holy Secure, and we are talking cybersecurity. That's a big word. Can you spell it? Cybersecurity. So this is top stuff today because we're living in a day and time where there's a lot of nefarious stuff going on. People are trying to get a hold of people's information, and so we're trying to find out, what can we do as a church to make sure that we protect people's information? And we understand that, you know, we're focused more on gospel teaching and preaching and the message, and that all that's good, and we've got to do that. But at the same time, God wants us to be good stewards of the people and the things that He has put in our control. So we're going to come back to Jonathan now, and we want to get a little bit of help. You know, what are some of the services that you offer, and maybe what are some of those tips for starter steps, maybe baby steps that a church can take to implement cybersecurity measures in their ministry?
Absolutely. So the main service that we offer kind of as entry level to make it easy for anyone to just get started is we offer a security assessment. It's an initial assessment. We can do best practice or compliance assessments, but we try and start with just an initial assessment. This is very high level. We send you a questionnaire. You fill that out. Sometimes we sit on a call similar to what we're doing now, and we can kind of help you answer those questions if you're just not sure. It's $125 for the initial assessment. And if you go get a deeper assessment, we actually will credit that towards your assessment. So we can kind of roll things into other services to make it more affordable. But that's where we try and start. It's just an initial assessment. Let's just see what you have going on. Most of the time, people don't even know what they have going on, right? And so you have to be very intentional about, okay, let's start here. What's your website? What's your internal? How do you handle your data? Is it cloud? Is it on premises? You know, what's your network look like? Do you have any endpoint security? There's so many vectors of attack, and churches have such a large, what we call an attack surface, ways they can be compromised, that we just got to kind of start from a high level and see what's going on before we can really dive in and start trying to fix these issues. But some practical things that most churches can do: start by securing your data. And I know that sounds really kind of obscure and big, but let's break it down a little bit. Okay. Secure your data in transit and at rest. In transit means how you how you move, where you send it to and from, and how it's sent. And at rest means where it sits. So if you send emails out that have, you know, sensitive information, do you have email security? Do you have a VPN as it travels over the network? What are you doing to protect that data as it moves and verify that who it goes to is the right person? And then at rest, you know, at rest can be either on a hard drive, on your desktop, on a laptop, on a pastor's cell phone, you know, on the audio video computer, or it can be in the cloud. If you do any like Google Cloud, which is what a lot of churches are moving to now because they can get Gmail and it can be free. Right. Are you securing your data where it sits? And you need to look at cloud application security and endpoint security from that perspective. Endpoint security includes having an EDR endpoint detection and response program. You need to have antivirus. You need to have, again, that VPN is something really, really critical. You need to have appropriate password management. And then on any applications you have to get to that data, you need to have two-factor authentication. And then just document it. Those are some pretty simple ways you can start working on your cybersecurity.
Okay. So for most smaller to mid-sized churches, explain to them what the cloud is and also explain to them what the endpoint is you talked about. And then I want you to touch something. A lot of what's going on today that's maybe, let's say, fooling church administrators maybe, or church secretaries and supporters, volunteers, is spam mail, where they're, you know, phishing and the different types of things like that. Give some tips on how to kind of prevent that or mitigate against those types of things as well.
Sure. Yeah. So we'll start with what cloud is. To put very simply, what cloud is a computer in someone else's house. Cloud is a server somewhere in some data center. Your data is sitting there instead of on your computer. There are pros and cons to that. Lots of organizations are moving to cloud because they can kind of pass off the liability and the stress of maintaining that equipment or what have you. Cloud is your data somewhere else. And you need to take that into consideration. That's why you got to secure your cloud applications, because you don't want your data to be sitting on someone else's computer not secured either. Right? So that's why we talk about securing your cloud applications, securing your VPN, making sure everything is configured correctly. Configuration issues is where most people get stuff wrong. They think they configured something correctly, they didn't document it, and then when they go back to go check, like, oh, someone made themselves an admin on our cloud environment. We don't know who they are. They're in Uzbekistan. You know, it happens. But that's basically what cloud is. It's your data somewhere else that you have to get remotely. It doesn't sit on your device.
Okay. And the other one was the endpoint. What exactly? Because they may not know what an endpoint.
Yep.
We're technical people, so we kind of get it. But what's endpoint?
Yeah, so an endpoint is your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, your computers, your phones. Anything, any device that is in your hand, on your desk, in your church that you use to interface with the internet, with your digital assets. That's an endpoint. You are what we call an end user. I'm an end user of this laptop I'm having this conversation on right now. The laptop I'm talking on is an endpoint. It's that interface between the human and the technology. That's why it's so critical to secure that item, because, you know, let's talk about email security a little bit. When you get all this spam email, that's coming to your endpoint. You're the end user. You're getting the email. You open up your email, you know, Outlook or Gmail or Yahoo or AOL. You know, some churches have an AOL email. how are you protecting your email security? And you can have, you know, email security applications, spam filters, and all these things, and that's great, and you should, but there's still that element which we call human error. We all make mistakes. You know, a couple of years back, I clicked on a link that I shouldn't have clicked on, and I just started looking into like crypto investing. I lost my entire crypto wallet because I, you know, didn't pay attention. So some factors you need to look out for to avoid, you know, spam and scam email is going to be spelling errors first. Now that's becoming less and less because of AI. It used to be, you know, you'd be like, hello, I am, you know, Steven, and I would like Katubla, and you know, get some weird jumble words. That's actually kind of going away because the scammers are filtering their message through AI. So now it's coming out into clear English.
Right.
So that's becoming less and less of an indicator. So what else can you do? You need to verify that the sender is in your environment, and you need to verify the subject matter of the email. So if you get an email from your pastor saying, hey, I need you to go get, you know, a couple $100 in credit cards and, you know, send me the numbers because I need to go give it to this, whatever. Is your pastor going to ask you that question, first off? Secondly, if you have any doubts ever about the legitimacy of an email, especially if it's coming internal or with someone you trust, like a vendor, call them. It is better to take up 10 seconds of their time and verify that that email is legitimate versus you potentially losing the assets that you have been given to steward in your church. It is better to be safe than sorry, right? That's an old saying. It's what my mom said, my dad has said. And it's true, and it applies here. It is better to be safe than sorry, and you should never have to apologize. If you are worried something might be malicious, something might be dangerous, just pick up the phone and call, and that's okay. So yeah, spelling errors, you know, verify who it comes from. If there are any like attached PDFs or PNGs, you know, images, files, you know, something going on, zip folders, maybe take a pause. You know, again, for people who aren't super technically savvy, just pick up the phone and call them and make sure that that's right. But if you download something, I would say avoid that if you don't have an IT team that you can send something to review. But if they're suspiciously large, like if I get one PNG that's, you know, 1.2 gigabytes in size, I'm not going to download that. I'm not going to click it because something is funky about that photo. You can take that into consideration. If there are any links in an email, make sure that that link actually is directing you where you need to go. You can hover your cursor over that link and see where it actually is sending you. There, you know, take that into consideration. Just slow down. Take a breath. Just remember, whatever you're doing, it is not as urgent as being responsible with what you've been given. And my very first company I started, actually, was to address email security. And I'm hoping to roll it out. We're going to roll it out to churches first. But it is an email security product. And what it does is it sits on your inbox. It scans your emails and it assesses all these different factors and more that we just discussed about email security. And then it produces what we call an MPR, a malicious probability rating. And then it'll flag that email red, yellow, or green. So that way, if you open an email and it shows red, don't click, don't touch, delete, go away, is bad. If you see green, you can be comfortable. If it's yellow, you know, maybe double check and slow down. That way it takes what we call end user training, where we talk to you about what not to click and what, you know, and we all get busy, so we're not going to remember all these things. It takes your end user training from this big long class to, hey, yeah. Brenda, I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. Just remember, don't click the red ones.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, that's great. That's great. You made a good point there too at the end about training. I mean, training is good. It's good to put aside some time and take some type of class, get your volunteers, supporters, people especially that's working close with the data to get a better understanding. But it'll be great to have some tools like that where you don't have to, you know, study. You don't have to get a degree in cybersecurity to protect the church data, right? So that's good.
Yeah, talking about end-user training, next year in March of 2025, we're going to be rolling out an online end-user training on-demand course.
Oh, good.
And you're actually the first that I'm telling about this publicly, awesome. So you can tell us. You can be exclusive.
All right, church tech audience, church tech club audience, you're hearing it here first.
Yeah, we're going to be rolling out an end-user training course and it's specifically designed for church staff and volunteers. You know, there's all these end user training, whatever, and you can get free ones, okay, but they're just going to be generic. This is intentionally built for church staff and volunteers. We've spent almost a year working to develop this curriculum for you. Wonderful. It'll take probably about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to go through, but every member of your church, every staff member, every volunteer, anyone that touches data in any way should go through this course.
Wonderful. Definitely keep us posted so we can pop that out for our Church Tech Club members on that channel, as well as Patreon and other places that we're opening up. We definitely want people to know about this because this is critical. I've seen a lot of cases personally where when you get an email, they are really getting really what my dad would call it slick. He called people slick, like, you know, oh man, that's slick right there. You know, look out for him. But slick, you know, in the way that they can fool you. And one of the key things I think I've done, you said it already, but is checking that URL, hover that mouse over that link. Not just over the link, but even over the email address itself. Yep. Because that's in, you know, a link in essence as well. But you just hover your mouse over it. If you don't see a name that looks correct, or the company that you actually bought the product from or whatever, dig a little deeper. I think you can actually right click and maybe go in and say, show me the properties, actually open it up. And that's when a lot of times you actually see that the email address that's showing is not the real email address that the item was sent from, or the URL is not the correct URL and that type of thing. So that's good information, because we definitely want to break it down for people to know it's not that complicated. It may seem like it is. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of depth to what's making it all work. But there are simple steps like what Jonathan just gave us that you can take, and you can actually make sure your place is cyber secure. Isn't that good?
Holy secure.
Holy secure.
Completely
exactly.
secure.
Exactly. Holy. Holy. The entire... Very good. Very good. I love it. I love it. All right. So we're going to do one more break, and then I want to come back and ask you something really good that I think will help a lot of our folks. So hang on just a sec.
Does your church or ministry have tech questions about a specific product, the right product to choose, or just want to see what others are doing with technology in their ministries? There's a club for that. The Church Tech Club is a community portal where you can collaborate in an ad-free social feed, self-paced learn via video lessons, and discover practical ways to effectively use technology for enhancing your ministry outcomes. Learn more and sign up for free or paid tiers today at thechurchtechclub.com.
Okay, we are back, and we're going to wrap things up here in our conversation with Jonathan Logan of Holy Secure, and they are offering various services around cybersecurity, things that actually help you to protect your data in this day and time. A lot of times we're focused more on the spiritual, and we're not thinking that technical stuff matters, but today it matters. And if you're not careful, you can find yourself in a world of hurt and a lot of disappointed people when they find out that their social, not necessarily their social security number, but any other data. It could be simple as their phone number getting out there, and they didn't want their phone number to be out there. Some CHMSs, some church management systems will actually allow you to turn off whether you're in the directory or not, or visible in the church directory. And some people want that. They want that privacy, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as they are, of course, being involved and engaged in the church and trying to grow and learn and all that good stuff. You want to be sure that whatever you're doing, you're taking care of that. So the last question I wanted to ask you was kind of, you touched it a little bit already, because you mentioned that a course is coming out for staff and volunteers on this, and that's powerful right there. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. I think these are the kinds of things that need to happen to educate. The motto of the Church Tech Club is ask, learn, and do more. So we're very concerned that a lot of times the problem is just that people don't know, and they may be a little fearful. I think we've been like that throughout history on things, and not church, I'm talking about people in general. When we don't know something, we just kind of we shun it. But this is one of those things you can't shun. The question is, how do we keep up? How does a small to mid-sized church keep up? What can I do so that I at least mitigate what I can right now, until some of these other things become available for me, or I learn more and I have a tech team in place and all those kinds of things. What can I do now to keep up? It's changing fast. You know, I mean, things are happening. You mentioned AI. That's a whole nother episode we're going to have people on to talk about. But how do I keep up?
That's a great question. And I mean, it's so hard to give a blanket answer on that.
Okay.
Because every church's situation is different. You know, if my first answer would be like, well, if you have young people, get young people involved because they're going to know more, right? They're more technically inclined. They're more technically in tune than we are. Like even me, I'm not that old, but the generation and a half after me, like, I don't know half of what they're doing with some stuff. And it's like, okay, if I can get younger people involved in volunteering and helping with the church, which also brings in to bring them into discipleship with some of the leaders in the church and make it a sharing relationship where you learn from them, they learn from you. That would be my first instinct. But not every church is like that. We were going to a church recently here for a while that was like, I think 40 something people, and there were maybe three under 50. Ooh. Like, you have those churches out there. They're just very, the demographic is very old. And unless you have someone that's kind of go-getter, wants to learn all the time, which there are some people like that, that's great. It's going to be difficult for that person to stay up to date. So there are a couple different things I would recommend. Number one would just be to be aware. And by be aware, that means tune in to some kind of information getting source. So, you know, that might be TCTC, right? If you don't know, maybe you need to join the club. Mm-hmm. They're a great resource. They're going to give you some practical tips. They're going to provide podcasts like this where you can learn. That's a great resource. Or just Google, just what's going on in cyber today? What's going on in technology today?
Yes.
Right? Like there are so many resources at our fingertips that we just have to type and click. You know, and so you have to be proactive. And that's really the number one thing. You need to have a proactive attitude of, I do not understand this, so I'm going to go learn. Like we never stop learning. From the time we're born to the time we die, we're always learning something. So if your weakness in your church is technology, go learn about tech. You got YouTube. Just YouTube best practices for cybersecurity, or just YouTube how to optimize or how to set up, you know, a live stream video for my church. Right. There are videos out there. There are so many free resources. You just have to take the first step. Be humble, admitting you need help, and then just go find those resources. But if you can, if you have those younger people, those technically inclined people in your church, bring them in, bring them into the inner circle, you know, create a relationship with them, create a discipleship environment with them where they feel like they're giving value to the church, like their input is important and you need their input, but then also pour into them and mentor them and disciple them to be better followers of Jesus in their daily walk. I think that would be the most optimal option if it's available.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Wow. Great tips. Great tips. You've heard it here, guys. You've heard it. You can actually make this work. This can actually be a blessing to your fulfilling the Great Commission. You can actually help people grow, mentoring, helping young people at the same time, taking advantage of what they know to make tech even more effective in your ministry. So it can be done. So I thank you for that. Thank you for that. We can use those tips. Amen. Very good. So in case listeners want to follow up with you about something that you've said, or maybe follow you on social media, I'm going to pop the website back up here again, holysecure.com. And that is a secure website, by the way. I just didn't put the https://// on the front of it. But that is the website that you can go to learn more about what he offers, as well as, I'm sure there's some contact cards on there if you want to get a hold of him. I know you're on LinkedIn because I follow you out there.
Yes. Yep. So
just look up Jonathan Logan on LinkedIn. You can go to other places. Are you on Instagram or anything like that?
So we do have a Holy Secure presence on Instagram and on Facebook. Okay. We're not super active on there right now, but we will be rolling out a lot of content in the new year. Next year, we're going to be focusing on providing free and paid digital assets to churches, not like the e-course is one of them. And if you do want to get in contact with us, there's two ways. You can either go to holysecure.com and fill out, you know, just a contact form. If you're interested specifically in an initial assessment, you can go to our services page. There's a request initial assessment. You go to that form, and then we can take the conversation from there. Now, I do have a freebie I wanted to give exclusively to your listeners.
Okay.
One of the companies that we have here at Holy Secure is, and I don't remember if you remember this, Jonathan, is a coffee company.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So I kept going into churches talking about cybersecurity, and church coffee is terrible. It sucks. It's horrendous. So one of my friends, he owns a roastery in East Tennessee. He roasts fresh coffee on demand. So him and I partnered up. So you can go to Holy, spelled the same way, Holy Roasters, coffeeco.com. And if you go there and you use the promo code TCTC, you get 10% off.
What are you talking about? All right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I've got holyroasterscoffeeco.com. Let's see if that's correct. Is that right?
That's right. Holyroasterscoffeeco.com. Just go there. Promo code TCTC. Get 10% off. When you order, it's roasted fresh. It's not roasted 6 months ago. It's roasted, you know, maybe 6 days at the most. Not really. We offer whole bean, ground, K-cups now. We just launched K-cups. We're going to be revamping the look of it, so it'll be a little bit more modernized. But you can go in there, order there. We got subscriptions, so you can subscribe and save. And what we do at that company, which is, you know, a subsidiary of Holy Securities, we try and offer fresh roasted coffee to churches every Sunday. So instead of having some nasty, you get fresh, like it's roasted fresh, delivered every week to your church. So if you want to go there, I want to give that to your audience, TCTC promo code, and just go there. And we'd love to have you, and love for you to make your coffee a heavenly experience.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. So you can go out there and get that coffee, that holy, you want holy coffee. You don't want, now I'm saying it like, you know, the sound is H-O-L-Y, holy coffee. I don't think there's such a thing. But anyway, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, coffee. My. Holy Roasters Coffee, co.com. Use the code TCTC. That's an important code. The Church Tech Club, TCTC. And you can get yourself a discount on that coffee. Now you can stay awake during the message. Now you can stay awake and you can actually get in on some of the praise and worship that's going on, because you won't be worn out from a long week, because that Holy Roasters coffee is going to get you in shape.
Get some edifying espresso.
Edifying espresso. Oh my gosh. I got to go out there. I got to check it out. I definitely got to check it out. Thank you so much. We appreciate you, Jonathan. You really gave us some great information today. And so I'm going to say, Jonathan says, thanks, Jonathan, today. And there you have it. Another great episode. Jonathan Logan really enlightened us today on some things about cybersecurity and church and some technology tie-ins and how this is so important for us to consider. I jotted down a lot of notes on things he said. He talked about a security assessment that you can actually take that they offer. You want to check that out. It's very simple to do things like that. It gets you started. It's not a over investment. It's worth it to make that investment and learn about that. He talked a little bit about secure data in transit and at rest. You want to definitely make sure that you consider that in all cases that data is secure, that you're handling for the people of God and for those who are supporting the ministries that you bring to the table. So as he said, slow down. Don't be in a hurry. When you get that email, double check it. Make sure everything's cool. And I have this saying I like to say, God isn't in a hurry. You know, he's not in a hurry. He's everywhere and present at the same time. So he's got you covered, but he wants you to do some things too. So take care of that. Don't forget about the fact that the Church Tech Club is now an ambassador for the Kingdom and Will line of products and services. And they offer a large line. If you go to the website, you'll see other things that they offer. And when you do that, you're supporting the Church Tech Club and helping us to get the word out to more churches about how tech can help them do greater things for ministry. So again, thanks again, Jonathan Logan. Thank you, Holy Secure for bringing it today and giving us some great information. We're definitely going to remember this and utilize everything that you said, and we'll spread the word. Have a great day. Appreciate you, and God bless you.
You too. Appreciate you too,
Bob. All right. Until the next time, for everyone out there, God's favor to you.
That brings us to the end of this TCTC Talk episode. Thanks to our guests, highlighted companies, and our amazing audience, that's you, for joining us during today's exciting discussion of relevant technology topics for ministry. We hope the value in this episode was evident and beneficial to you. As always, thanks for listening to the Church Tech Club Talk podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platforms or find all episodes at lononservices.com/TCTC Talk. That's spelled lononservices.com/TCTC Talk. If you enjoy our show, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Be sure to come back next week for a fresh discussion of technology for ministry. Until then, Jonathan wants to remind you that the Church Tech Club's motto is about motivating you to do three things: ask, learn, do more.